say that to me. I don't want to see it.
Yes, you do.
I don't. I know you, and I know you do.
I don't want to see a picture of Katie Holmes in a nursing anything. I don't even know what a nursing bra is.
Well, go to my website and look.
I know. I really don't want to.
I'll pull it up for you.
Thank you. You do that, and I'll read this thing about blackened tooth stumps. 503-733-2970. Fine, I'll go. Hold on.
It's not that bad. It's just peeking out.
Yep. It's no picture of Scotty J. By the way, just the number of comments and photoshops I got of that Scotty J picture. They're astounding. Ah!
I know. It's like a, I don't know, like a holster or something.
It's like a weird,
it's like a frontless bra.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about motherhood and being with a crazy guy is that it makes even stuff that would normally be hot no longer hot. You know what I mean? It's like that we had that thing about the 3,000 women and where was that Thai, the breastfeeding story? Was it Thailand or someplace like that? Some place where people live in mud huts, and it was like 3,000 women in a room, and they were doing like some world's largest breastfeeding marathon or whatever. It's like if those women were childless and single, and it was in Vegas, it would be like the AVN Awards or something. It would be like a porn convention, and it'd be all hot. Look at this: there's 3,000 women with a boob out. Woo! You know, guys would be all over it. You make it part of some motherhood kind of thing, and suddenly it just loses any element of appeal that it had. It becomes completely and wholly unattractive. And I realize that this is radio, and so you cannot see this picture. It's posted on Sarah's website at sarahxdillon.com. But first of all, Tom Cruise has gone from looking crazy. He now just looks evil.
That is exactly what I thought, too. He looks...
You know what I'm talking
about.
Like
a horrible person.
You look at this photo.
He looks satanic.
I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not saying he is satanic or evil. He probably is. But I'm just saying, you look at this photo, and when you get a chance, you go to sarahxdillon.com. You will see what I'm talking about. You look at this photo of him walking along, and it's just, Katie Holmes has got this look on her face that's sort of like a, help me? It's just sort of like a.
She looks completely vacant.
It's not even vacant, but it's sort of a, hi, there's a better life somewhere.
Let's move to Haiti.
She has that look on her face that I think the gibbons probably have up in the primate cages at OHSU right before they're injected with some sort of some horrible toxin, you know, to test like a Mary Kay cosmetic product. And yet, Tom Cruise has got this weird sort of robotic alien Hitler youth look on his face. I think he's been replaced by some sort of cyborg. Mm. Did anybody see Mission Impossible 3 over the weekend?
God, no.
Okay, so not in this room. Did anybody anywhere see Mission Impossible?
It did pretty well in the box office after rumor. Do you have the story, Tim?
It was a little disappointing.
It was off though. It was a soft opening.
No, but I guess Scientologists, like all the theaters that were near Scientology centers, people were coming in and buying like 500 tickets.
There was a lot of like, you must go out. Was it like the big loudspeaker at the top of the compound? You must all now go and see Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah, for some reason the theaters were empty, but all the tickets were sold.
Sort of like the Jonestown thing, like mothers, come to the compound, give the Kool-Aid to your children. Because I know initially, like Friday and Saturday, they were saying it was off like $20 million for the last one, and it was off like $30 million from War of the Worlds. So, who could have seen that coming? Bad news. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Yeah, hi, this is Perry.
Hi, Perry. How can I help you today?
Well, this is absolutely awesome. I was just scrolling and realized you guys are back on the air. Last time I heard and actually spoke with Rick was, 2003,
yes.
I won the contest that he was having for the most disgusting job.
Uh-huh. Now, look, you know this is Rick, right?
Oh, Rick.
Hi.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, you know, I've always thought of myself as having a distinctive delivery. I stood out in a crowd. You heard me. My voice cut through. I didn't really sound like anything else.
I thought you were a screener. Do you remember me? Do you remember my job?
Wait, hold on. You had the most disgusting job?
I did. I won the contest.
You won the contest from... I don't even remember having a contest for most disgusting job. Because it's all... This show is just a blur of disgusting things sometimes. And plus, I'm under-caffeinated today.
Well, here's a hint. One word.
Oh, wait.
Bring it all back. I can say it on the air.
Okay.
Diddle.
Oh, God damn. It's all flooding back to me now.
Yes.
I remember.
Diddled over and over and over, and
okay.
I actually have the same career path.
Oh, okay. This is now. Correct me if I'm wrong. We had, I do remember now, we did have this contest for most disgusting job, Perry, and you, your job was to obtain genetic material from farm animals, was it not?
No. That was a close, I think that was the runner-up. No, oh. I went up to the hospital, and the medical students practiced on...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Do you remember the procedure?
I do remember the procedure that they practiced on you.
Can you say that on the air?
Let's not. Let's not. It's a different, it's a less innocent time, Perry.
This is absolutely awesome. I just signed up to be your friend on MySpace, so you got to let me be your friend.
You're all accepting applications, aren't you?
Fantastic. Yeah, you're no longer doing that job, I hope.
No, I'm on the same career path. In fact, I go from state to state to all the different medical schools.
That's really unnerving. All right.
Well, do you remember how much money that you make doing that?
I don't. Really. Here's what you should do. To drive a little traffic, as they say, you should go to my MySpace profile, and you should, in the comments page, you should put a little description about what you did and how much you made.
Rock and roll.
I prefer not to revisit it all on the air. All right, Perry, you spread the word. We're glad you've rediscovered the show, my friend.
Welcome back to the AM, the Amplitude Modulation, or what
does
it stand for?
That is indeed what it stands for.
Excellent.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right.
All right, there you go. That's Perry, ladies and gentlemen. All right. All right. Anyway.
I found the Scientology ticket story.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay, where is this being reported? Some gossip rag somewhere?
Deadline Hollywood Daily.
So this is just, what is it, that the word went out from whoever the guy is, and he ordered all the minions to go buy tickets?
I confirmed today that there's been an unusual pattern of sales for Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible 3 at the Hollywood Art Light Theater, which happens to be located right near the Church of Scientology. And confirmed anecdotes are saying that the internet this weekend, that people are selling hundreds of tickets at a time. Okay.
And yet, but the theater is just mysteriously empty. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick. This is Sean from the Couvre.
Hey, Sean from the Couvre. What's up?
He has some bad news.
I actually did see that movie, and I am not a Scientologist. I will say that right now. I was kind of railroaded and going, but I have to tell you, it was a very, very good movie.
I've actually heard, now, to be fair, I've heard that it's the best of the three.
It is the best of the three. It's, you know, it's funny, because you look at him on screen, you used to look at him and go, what a cool guy, I'd like to know him. And now you think, behind those eyes is the mind of a madman. The guy's crazy. You can't look at him in the same way anymore and think it's cool. You just think,
behind this inner facade.
He's such an idiot, you know?
Well, you know what it is? It's like with so many of those celebrities, when they get busted for something weird, or you find out that they were, it's like that, when you found out Marlon Brando had that collection of poo. I don't know if you remember that story, where it's like Marlon Brando was living, this is a true story, by the way. Marlon Brando was living, in Fiji or something. He was one of the Fijian islands before he died. And the deal was you would go to visit I remember when we broke this story, you would go to visit Marlon Brando, and you would visit him, and his requirement was, that when you visited him, you had to leave behind a stool sample in a jar with your name on it. So it's like when, you know, whoever, so like Johnny Depp would go to visit him, and it's like, and he'd be, you have to leave me a stool sample. And also Johnny Depp is there having to leave a sample of his solid waste with his name on it. And it makes, you go back and watch The Godfather now, and he's sitting there and he's at the table and he's talking about James Caan's death. And all you can think about is this is a guy who collects poo in jars. You know what I mean? It's just strange.
Strangest guest book I've ever heard of in my life.
Seriously. So, but here the thing is, I've heard a lot of good reviews of Mission Impossible 3, and I think it's because of J.J. Abrams, who's the man behind Lost and Alias and Felicity of all things. I heard it's a good film, but that's the thing is, the soft opening has nothing to do with the quality of the film. It's all about Cruise. It's all about people who are creeped out by that guy. It's not even that they dislike him, and I think I speak for all of us here. It's not even that you dislike Tom Cruise, because there's actors that everybody probably dislikes that you go see anyway. It's that people are creeped out by him, and I think that's the difference. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly true. You know, it's funny, because when we were leaving, we found ourselves saying, well, at least he's not Michael Jackson. You know what I mean? You're trying to be good about it, you know?
Well, Michael Jackson is, but it's exactly the same thing. And it's, see, and there's actors who are creepy in a good way. A little pop quiz. Give me an actor creepy in a good way.
Harrison Ford.
I don't find Harrison Ford creepy. I find Harrison Ford just sort of, Harrison Ford to me is just sort of depressing. It's like, you look at that guy, and he used to be Indiana Jones, and now he just looks like, he's sort of become that Regarding Henry guy, where every time I see him, it's like he's got less hair and longer,
helicopter everywhere.
Longer pauses between words. I'm saying, for me, the benchmark for creepy in a good way, Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken is a guy, he's a little strange, a little weird, not quite normal. Crispin Glover, I think, falls into that category as well.
Oh, Crispin Glover. Oh, my God.
But you
definitely.
But you don't get the feeling that they would harm you in any way. You know what I mean? Like, Tom Cruise, I'm looking at this picture of him and Katie Holmes right here, and it's like that same look that you see on the faces of the SS right before they give the order to raise Poland. You know what I mean? So it's a bad scene.
He's ready to snap at any second.
That's what I'm saying. All right, thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. So,
what could be done to hasten the process?
I don't know. And this is one of those things where we've got to wait now, like 3, 4, 5 years, before Katie Holmes is rescued or dumps him, and then we'll find out the whole deal. We'll never get the straight scoop right now. We're gonna have to wait for her to like break and run from the compound and then write the tell-all in a few years. All right. Well, since we just completely deviated from all of this and we just veered right into the gossip thing, we should note really quickly that Ashley Simpson got a nose job, and for once it didn't go badly, because you always notice plastic surgery when it goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. When plastic surgery is botched, that's when it always comes to your attention, because then you end up like Burt Reynolds. And I don't know the last time anybody here saw Burt Reynolds. I saw him on... Do you ever see somebody who has plastic surgery and it's so bad that it sort of frightens you? And you find yourself not wanting to look at it because it causes you physical pain?
Like Kenny Loggins?
Has Kenny Loggins had bad plastic surgery?
Is it Kenny Loggins or Kenny Rogers? I can't remember.
Kenny Rogers! Kenny Rogers doesn't even look like him anymore. Did you see him on American Idol?
It's horrible.
Jesus, and it's like you almost don't want him to smile because you're afraid that everything will just start tearing. You know what I mean? Like, he used to have the charming kind of eye crinkle going on, and now it's like every time Kenny Rogers opens his mouth to speak, I'm just waiting for the horrible ripping sounds in his face.
The eyeballs to pop out of the sockets.
And his flesh just tears loose. So it is with Burt Reynolds. I'm watching inside the actor's studio, and first of all, you know that they're starting to scrape the bottom of the barrel. They've picked up the barrel, and they are digging in the ground underneath when they get Burt Reynolds. What are you going to talk to Burt Reynolds about when he's on Inside the Actor's Studio? And it's just like... I would hate to be one of the, it's like when you get tickets to go see the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. You're on the waiting list forever, and you get there, and it's like that guy who played the next door neighbor on Home Improvement, you know, like above the nose and up across the fence guy. Watching Inside the Actor's Studio, and you can see that all of these kids were in the audience because they want to see whatever. It's like, you know, you want to see Harrison Ford. You want to see Meryl Streep. You want to see an Ed Norton. And instead, James Lipton has to do he was in Deliverance. And then he was in Boogie Nights. And they're trying to gloss over the whole, like, 18-year period in the middle where Burt Reynolds did nothing. And he comes out, and the audience is doing that, you know, kind of the weak sort of, well, I guess we'll see.
Better than nothing.
Yes, sir. It's like, oh, there are bagels. And so Burt Reynolds sits down. And it was like Burt Reynolds, his face is so taut and shiny. I mean, it's like he's just covered in layers and layers of wax. It's bad, man. It's like they rolled him in paraffin. It's so unnerving. And every time he speaks, he's got like the full-on all-over immobile Botox face shield, where he opens his mouth or he'll laugh or something, and the rest of his face not even moving. And he looks like one of those Terry Gilliam Monty Python things, where the whole face is just immobile, and it's just like the bottom jaw that moves, like the bottom mandible just moves up and down. It's all kinds of bad. So you normally only notice plastic surgery when it's gone terribly awry, which is why it's interesting to note that Ashley Simpson, and I saw this on the cover of, is it In Touch? Or Us Weekly, sort of some tabloid. And speaking of which, we'll go to the Inquirer, and we'll talk about face cancer in just a moment. But I saw that Ashley Simpson has got her beak taken care of, which is good, because Ashley Simpson, that was the weak link. That nose was the whole thing thrown off the balance of an otherwise hot chick. And it's always good when girls recognize, like, the one, when they're able to correctly identify and treat the one horrible flaw that they've got. Because otherwise she was pretty attractive, but it's like that, like, it's the thing where, you've seen this, right, where it's like you see a girl, and what do you immediately say? Go that, well, it's a shame about blank. And everybody has had that conversation. It's usually about a woman, where you look at the girl and you say, oh, cute girl, shame about her you know, insert like body part here. So she now looks really hot. So I'm a big fan of I'm a big fan of Ashley Simpson's plastic surgery. All right,
I put the best picture of her up.
Really?
On mine too.
Okay, so go to SarahXDillon.com.
Yeah, I can't believe how good she looks. Like I'm completely floored.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like one. It really is where the one bad feature can block everything else.
That was the thing. Like now she. Yeah, now Jessica Simpson better watch out.
Yeah,
her little sister's looking better than
no,
her.
No, it's like having too much garlic in an otherwise good meal. It just ruins everything because all you can taste is the garlic. It's something that you just can't literally, both literally and figuratively, can't see past the nose. All right, so let me read this from the Inquirer really quickly, and then we'll break because we're going to come back with Gary Baumgarten, who is in New York, pestering David Blaine. All right, so this is we've had requests for this. This is the Charlie Sheen, Denise Richards divorce, which is happening here. And this is from, Alexander Hitchin. This is this week's Inquirer. This falls into the category, by the way, of why would you, this is what happens when a girl marries the hell-raising guy, and there's only two paths here. Girl marries guy who's a bad boy, he's a hell-raiser, he's living life on the edge, and you either change him into somebody you no longer want, you know, you change him into somebody who's dull, and then you dump him, or you can't change him, and you dump him and complain that he remained too wild. When you marry a guy because he's some sort of bad boy troublemaker, there is no good end to that. There is only divorce when you come home and you find him on top of the babysitter, or there's divorce when you come home and you find him, you know, in the kitchen cooking up blocks of puffy tofu. So we've got this. Hollywood hellraiser Charlie Sheen's dirty divorce battle with Denise Richards hit a shocking new low, according to sources, as he flew into a rage and screamed at her, quote, "I hope you die of face cancer." Which is fantastic. After talks between the warring couple's attorneys broke down, a source close to the divorce case told the Inquirer, quote, "Charlie called Denise, shouting and screaming at the top of his lungs. He went berserk. He called her an effing bitch and raged, 'I hope you..." I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. "Called her on the phone saying, 'I hope you get breast cancer and cancer of the face and die.'" I don't even really think that there is cancer of the face. I think that's like a thing that only exists in Sheen land that he's making up. Points for style, though. "It all stemmed," says the source, "from Denise telling her lawyers to insist that Charlie get..." Listen, this is how you can tell. Like, if you're going to do some sort of checklist about the am I existing in some weird alternate Hollywood reality or not, listen to this. "It stemmed from Denise telling her lawyers to insist that Charlie get an apartment to entertain his various women." Anytime the big sticking point is not that your husband is humping everything with a pulse, but that he won't stick to the deal of finding a separate apartment for it, you're living in a world unlike that of normal earthlings.
Now, this story is just getting better and better.
It really is. "She said that Charlie can't resist prostitutes. She described them as a big part of his life that he's not willing to give up.
Yet she's sleeping with her best friend's ex-husband."
Yeah. Let's see. "The kids are only allowed to visit Charlie at his home under the care of a nanny if he bought or rented an apartment to meet with hookers. She said that there were always what she called undesirable people. Prostitutes, gambling pals, and hangers-on." I want to get famous enough that I can have hangers-on at Sheen's house. Let's see. "Denise, 35, and Sheen, 40, each filed her divorce after an attempt to rekindle their relationship in Barbados ended in disaster. She was then reduced to tears when Sheen accidentally sent a filthy email he'd intended for a prostitute to Denise. After Denise emailed back, emailed Debbie the hooker, the hooker revealed that Sheen had sex with her a dozen times and was using other prostitutes. Referring to Sheen's vicious verbal attack, the source added, Denise doesn't deserve this." Listen to this. Listen to the spin. You can just start, this is the moment where you can see the spin in its embryonic zygote phase. "Denise is the kind of mom who wakes at 6 a.m. religiously to feed and bathe the children. And she's always there to tuck them into..." No woman who voluntarily marries Charlie Sheen is up at 6 a.m. doing anything except phasing out the blow from the night before. "Last year, former porn star Chloe Jones claimed to the Inquirer that she went to a Hotel Bel Air in Los Angeles and paid $15,000 to have sex with her." No prostitute anywhere. This, I think, is what... I don't understand what goes on in the minds of celebrities. I mean, look, maybe my life experience is not as expansive as that of some. And I'm not really asking for answers on this because I don't know what response you could give me on the air that would be FCC friendly. I can't fathom what a $15,000 prostitute can give you that like a $5,000 prostitute can't. And please, I'm not really asking you to call up. It is a rhetorical question. I'm just saying, like, a chick can only be so hot. You know what I mean? It does seem like you're going to reach some point of diminishing returns. All right, well, we have to break here. We'll finish this later. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten from Manhattan. We're going to talk about David Blaine. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, Peter Carlin from The Sopranos, and do-it-yourself dentistry in London. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. All right, live from Portland, it's the Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. You can also email me like it's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. And so forth. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. A good friend back after an exclusive three-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent, Lisa Goddard.
Hello, hello.
How are you? So, did you have a restful and rejuvenating week off, Lisa?
I did have a great week off, but I caught some kind of flu bug, some kind of croup.
No, that's the bird flu. And so, I look forward to more time with Bob Costantini in the immediate future.
Exactly.
No, it's everybody I know that there's some sort of we're all going to die, I think, because everybody I know who's gone on vacation in the last week has come back sounding terrible.
As if we need another reason to not use our cars and drive anywhere, but yeah.
Seriously, there's some sort of bad pandemic out there. You should give our thanks to Bob Costantini, though. He filled filling your shoes is not easy.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm a big fan of noodles.
Yeah. Okay.
Between you and me.
Is that what he's called?
I probably shouldn't have said that on air.
Noodles?
A few people, I believe, do call him that.
Now is that Noodles as just like that's his one nickname, like, hey, you, Noodles, or is it like a mob sort of thing, like Noodles Costantini and Three Fingers Vinny?
Oh, I like that. I don't know. You know, he's been up on the Hill longer than I have, so I'm not even sure what the origin of that is.
All right. If I knew him a little better, we were going to bust out the Godfather theme as his opening, but I didn't feel like my relationship with Bob was at that level quite yet. Hey, let's talk about the Kennedy and so in the course of one day with this guy, we went from no alcohol to reeking of alcohol to no special treatment to he was taken back home and tucked in by the cops.
Right.
To he didn't have a problem to he was in rehab. But this was all in like 2 hours. So Patrick Kennedy's, he's our new favorite guy. what is the status right now? What happens to a government official when they go into rehab? How does their office function when they're like locked up at the Betty Ford Center?
Yeah, he is in Minnesota right now in rehab in the Mayo Clinic. His office is running along. They say that they can do almost everything as far as constituent service goes, you know, helping people that, you know, may need processing, immigration papers, things within the district. Tours of the Capitol, all that stuff's going to continue as usual. Of course, his district in Rhode Island does not have a vote right now while he's in rehab. No one really says. It depends on how active of a congressman you have. He is known for bringing back quite a bit of money to his district. They say that's not going to change, that he won't be gone very long. And it doesn't seem that he's known for really having a big impact on what happens in the House. So we don't expect that his absence will really be felt significantly here.
I mean, that's got to, I guess it either speaks really well for his staff or really poorly for him that effectively no one is going to notice that he's gone.
Well, you have to remember there's 435 members of Congress, you know, and on any given day, a couple of them, you know, sometimes many of them aren't here. So I think, and a lot of them do focus mainly on their district and on trying to really get the money back to their district or help the people in their district rather than on shaping federal policy. And that seems to have been what his reputation is.
So I don't, I won't belabor any of this because I feel like you really want to go lie down somewhere. But Tony Snow, is it true it's his first day on the job today?
Yeah, that's right. Day number one.
Has anybody made him cry yet?
No. He had a gimme. He just came out and introduced Negroponte for the briefing on intelligence. Of course, you know, John Negroponte didn't have such an easy time. He had a lot of questions about the changes at the CIA. But Tony Snow really didn't have to do too much in that particular briefing.
I suppose working at Fox for any length of time does put one in the groove to go represent the Bush White House.
Yeah, I think that I think he's very familiar with the plan of attack here, very familiar with the logic and the arguments. I don't think he's going to have a big problem. And as John Stewart pointed out, he does have the best hair of any Bush administration spokesman yet.
See, just the fact that you would toss out a John Stewart reference, that's why you are irreplaceable, Lisa. No matter how good Noodles may be, he's no you. All right, go have some vitamin C and some echinacea.
I'm working on it.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks.
All right. There you go. Lisa Goddard, who is ailing but still able-bodied, able-minded. That's why we love her here at the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. There you go. 503-733-2970. See, she's under the weather. She's coughing. She's hacking. The Rick Emerson Show calls. Lisa Goddard cannot resist the siren song of this very fine radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of the siren song, let's go to your personal savior at the city desk. It's Tim Riley.
Top the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, PBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. David Blaine says he's in pretty bad shape as he nears the end of his latest feat, A Week in an Aquarium, but vowed to go through with his finale by holding his breath underwater for nearly 9 minutes. A 33-year-old magician...
See, he's basically just soaking for a long time. That's all this is.
Right.
He's soaking in a tub for 9 days.
I mean, sooner or later, your flesh is going to separate from the bones. The 33-year-old magician, wearing only a diving helmet that allows two-way communication, has been submerged in an 8-foot snow globe-like atmosphere since last Monday.
Really, just, if anybody, this is like me in that sales meeting this morning, and I'm sitting there, and I'm dancing, and I'm shuffling, and, I'm just desperately trying to, like, convey why this station is different and why the station is great, and I'm using words like tertiary and skew and imaging and demographic and so forth, but really it all comes down to that one phrase we just heard. Sooner or later, your skin is going to separate from your bones. And you know what? That's just not a phrase you hear anywhere else. Like you're going to hear their asses on Air America saying that. So that's this program in a nutshell, my friends, right there. It all comes down to that one phrase.
Blaine's finale will be aired live in a two-hour ABC special entitled David Blaine Drowned Alive, starting at 8. Right. Is that tonight?
I just know that. Here's the thing about David Blaine. He is presumably an illusionist, right? Illusions, Michael.
Oh, it's on at 8 tonight.
He is a magician, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I'm unclear about is, here's, I think, why it's difficult for me to be excited about this David Blaine living underneath the ground in a tub of Jell-O for a year, or whatever the hell it is because he started out as a magician or an illusionist, I'm unclear about whether there's any trickery involved here. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
How could he be tricked? He's out in public.
I guess what I'm saying is this really an endurance thing, which makes it more like a Jim Rose circus sideshow kind of a thing? Or is there some sort of trick, some sort of illusion going on here?
Oh, is it real magic?
That's what I'm saying. Like, is this...
Well, they were showing his hands getting all pruny from being in the water for so long.
I guess. All right. Well, whatever.
He just seems like he does a lot of stupid things just to prove that he can do
them. And it's like they've lost their punch. I guess that's my point here. I've failed to be compelled or shocked by any of these. I think magic is one of those things that... I don't want to say it's over, but magic to me is sort of like... I was watching SNL. For the first time in a long time, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and Laura and I were at home for some reason on a Saturday night. We're sitting there watching it, and for some godforsaken reason, we decided to watch SNL. And it just, I mean, it's perfectly serviceable. I mean, I guess they wrote some jokes and some people did some kooky things. But the whole notion of sketch comedy to me just seems so dated. Is the whole idea of a sketch comedy show, it just seems like something from another era.
Sid Caesar.
That's what I mean. It's just, there's no knock on the people at SNL. They're doing the best they can. But it just, It just, the whole format just has a very dated feel to it. So it is with David Blaine and magic. It's like a guy, doesn't matter, what are you doing? Well, I'm living in a glass box and then I'm going to break out of some manacles. I mean, it doesn't really seem like it has any punch these days. So, you know, a guy really wants to demonstrate his endurance. He should just sit on the street and just let people come by and punch him in the face for a couple of days. Like, if you just sat, what's your deal? Well, I'm going to sit on a chair on the corner
of Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm going to go down to Spanish Harlem, and I'm going to sit on a footstool, and people can come by, and they can burn me with cigarettes for 3 or 4 days. I'd watch that. That to you, that's some endurance, yeah. Kids.
Oh, by the way, he's been fed and relieving himself by tubes. Let's hope they're not reversed.
Okay, good times.
An argument over a parking space outside of Florida. Oh, this is a Florida story.
Oh, I'm sorry. The news coming to us from our favorite state, which is Florida.
The home of Richard Nunn.
Good times.
An argument over a parking space outside of Florida Walmart erupted into a sword attack and landed a 46-year-old woman in jail. A Charlotte Till is accused of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon for allegedly threatening a woman in another car with a 27-inch sword hidden inside her walking cane. Till and her husband were waiting to pull into a parking space at Walmart, but another car drove in front of them. And then, according to the report, Till approached the woman and her daughter in the other car, and they exchanged some profanity. Witnesses told police that Till produced the sword and began swinging it around. She later told police she's trained to use the sword and only attempted to scare the other woman. Till's husband told police he didn't see the sword, even though he was standing just feet away.
I don't even know. Let me talk to you about this, because there's an astonishing number of stories that happen on this program involving swords. I think I speak for all of us here when I say I don't even know where to buy a sword.
They have a swordsman school in St. John's.
Why?
I guess so people learn to be swordsmen and swords ladies.
Apparently. I thought everybody in St. John's, I thought as part of your birth ritual that you were just given a gun. I thought when you came out of the womb, they just handed you some sort of firearm, and that was just part of growing up there. Well, whatever. All I'm saying is, I wouldn't even know where to buy one, although apparently Tim Riley's always has the answer, and the answer is St. John's, where all good things happen. Yes. I'll tell you why. Because that's one of those things, as I've talked before about how I try to spot old guys that I want to be like, guys that I want to emulate. Here's my thing. By the time I become 65, 70 years of age, I want to be like Richard Attenborough in Jurassic Park. And I just want to be wearing, like a linen suit. I want to look like I'm, you know, from Panama. And I want to be carrying a cane with a sword inside of it so I can attack youths who wrong me or annoy me in any way. That's my goal. And this does not look like a woman who would have a sword, by the way. Well, what are you going to do? There you go. There's your Florida news.
Florida. Meanwhile, it's time to go to the Religious Nutcase Watch. We have Sybil here.
Here's your Religious Nutcase Watch for Monday in the Rick Emerson Show.
A Malaysian housewife says a bogus spiritual medium duped her into having sex with him 51 times as the only way to exorcise her of evil spirits.
Yeah.
She's 41. She sought the man's help after he claimed to be able to heal her in her numerous ailments and allegedly told that, well, she had many evil spirits inside of her, therefore there had to be numerous sessions. The medium, who claims to be a reincarnation of God, allegedly hypnotized her into having sex 51 times over 6 months. She had to pay 50 wugugus for every exorcism, which comes out to $17.
She had to pay what?
50 wugugus.
Okay.
Which is their currency.
All right.
The woman's husband eventually discovered the exorcism encounters and complained to the local authority.
Where was this?
Malaysia.
Okay.
Meanwhile, here we go with this thing again. A group of prominent English Roman Catholics, like two or three left, is saying that the release of the film The Da Vinci Code is not a threat, but a chance to explain their faith. They're at odds with the Vatican, where an official close to Pope Benedict has called for a boycott of the film. Archbishop Angelino Amato, the number two official in the Vatican Doctrino office, blasted Dan Brown's best-selling book as full of anti-Christian lies and demanding that Catholics stay away from this film.
I don't understand exactly. Okay. I know I'm like the 9 millionth person to make this observation, but on the side of it, it does say a novel. It's what we call made up.
Yes.
You know, they put it right there in the fiction section and everything. It doesn't. There's some joke there about Christians believing big, long fictional books, but I don't know what. I'm too tired to make the association. Go ahead.
Well, among the plot in the book
It says, Mary had a child by Mary, oh, Jesus had a child by Mary Magdalene, that she fled to France, and that,
lived as an artist on the street making watercolors of passersby.
How can you keep the Madonna if they seem parade? And that Christ's bloodline survives to this day.
All right.
Then we have, from the Vatican City, in the latest Vatican, broadside against the Da Vinci Code, a leading cardinal says Christians should respond to the book and film with legal action because it offends Christ and the church he founded. This is Cardinal Francis Arizini, a Nigerian who was considered a candidate for Pope last year, but he couldn't because he was, he was black, wasn't he? I believe so. Christians should not sit back and say it was enough to forgive and forget, he said in a documentary made for a Roman filmmaker. Sometimes it is our duty to do something practical. And this whole story, just as boring as the Catholic religion always is.
So there you go.
We got one more.
Oh, here's your final bit of the religious
I believe
case
so,
watch.
Yes.
Okay.
Fire investigators say a Powell, Oklahoma man, I guess, admitted to dressing up like a ninja to burn down an adult business all in the name of God. This guy's only 20 years old. What's wrong with him? Benjamin Warren faces an arson charge that could send him to prison for 6 years. He's out on $5,000 bond while his case goes to a grand jury. They say he admitted using a fake gun to get the clerk out of the Town and Country bookshop back on January 31st. After ordering the employees to leave the store, Warren then poured 6 gallons of flammable liquid inside the store, sent it ablaze. The fire did $900,000 worth of damage. He, Warren, was in an auto accident and thought God was dealing with his conscience about the thing, the fire. He just wanted to get right with it and burn the adult bookstore down.
There you go. Burning down a store while dressed as an ninja, doing it all for Christ. There's your religious thank you. Woo-hoo. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. We'll do a couple more stories here, then we'll do a couple phone calls, and we'll break, et cetera, et cetera. I got all this email coming in. Rick, about canes and swords. 6 months ago, I broke my foot because I'm old, and my bones are imploding into talcum powder, and I had to use a cane. I went online to buy one, and you can indeed buy canes that have flasks and swords. How would you hide a flask inside a cane? Well, whatever. It was kick-ass until my wife informed me that I would not be getting a cane with a sword or flask inside of it. Foiled again. Let's see. What else? Rick, I have 2 swords I will sell you. Email me after the show. Fantastic. Rick, I heard Sarah mention suicide by hanging about some C-Lab dude she had a crush on. You should know that nobody kills themselves by hanging. What happens is they are practicing autoerotic asphyxiation and something goes horribly wrong. A cover-up ensues. You never hear about the fact that the pervert was hanged with his pants around his ankles and his tool hanging out. There you go, Matt. Well, fair enough. And then a long email entitled Maternity Bras and Stuff.
It looks like a long article.
Let me just read the highlights here. Rick, my wife and I are expecting our second child. Last Saturday, we bought one of those glider chairs at Babies R Us. There was a mid-20s young woman there with her mother and a 6-month-old son. She just sat right down in one of the display model slider chairs and started breastfeeding. Breast exposure is a daily hazard at baby stuff places, and women have no problem just taking it out and expect that it's no big deal. It's like Mardi Gras in New Orleans, but without any sexual thrill attached to it. Rick, you just have to get used to not looking at the breast. Looking at the back of the baby's head? Good. Looking at all the skin around the baby's face? Bad. But it's best to just avoid looking at the area entirely to avoid any embarrassment on anybody's part. Regarding Katie and the maternity bra, and we're talking about this photo of Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise. It's on Sarah's website, where Katie Holmes just looks all zombified. And Tom Cruise looks like he's going to go bathe in someone's blood. Let's just say she made an interesting fashion choice. In her defense, and parents will back me up on this, she's a zombie because she's feeding a baby every 3 hours. If she's not doing that, she's... Ugh. I'm not going to read this next sentence, but it does contain the phrase, painfully engorged.
Oh. Oh.
And then he just signs it, Rock! That's Guitar Geek Brian. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. We'll do these calls, and then we'll do a little bit more news, then we'll break. Then we got that Gary Baumgarten about David Blaine. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. George, you have sword information.
I know you have many dorks and dweebs such as myself and Renfair dudes and lasses in your audience.
Yes.
So I'm going to give a little prof here to Museum Replicas Limited. Go to museumreplicas.com and you will find a wide supply of Roman gladii, ancient Greek swords, all the way to elven princess cloaks and the like.
Are you reading this off a page somewhere?
No, I got it all in my head, my little dorky pointy head.
How sad.
And it's all combat ready. It's none of this fake pot metal crap.
It's all combat ready.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So
go there. Museum Replicas.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you go. God almighty. All com. That's exactly what you want to hear out of somebody in the audience. It's all combat ready, Rick. That's like with, I won't say who. That's like a certain member of the engineering staff who accosted me again in the hallway the other day to show me a big gun catalog that he's been going, this is the one I'm going to buy. It's got the no-grip stock and handle.
Oh, God.
You can reload with one hand, Rick. And I just sort of smile and go, that's great. You're doing a great job. I would never fire you. Our good friend, Dennis Pitzenberger, how are you, sir?
Hey, not doing too bad. How are you?
I'm rolling, brother. What do you got?
Well, I thought I'd give you a little update of info. I caught this about the idiot in the Beta Bowl.
This is David Blaine?
Yeah. I guess the idea is that the world record for holding your breath underwater, I assume, is 8 minutes and some odd seconds. And that his whole deal tonight is that he's going to hold his breath for 9 minutes.
How bored is somebody that this is the world record they're thinking of to break? It really is like I'm going to do the world record for standing in one place and just sort of staring off into space, you know?
Well, the thing that doesn't make any sense to me is even, like, when Sarah answered the phone is when I told her that information, both of us are under the same thought, then what does the fishbowl have to do with any of it?
I don't know. I have no explanation. So.
He's a pinhead. I don't... How does he still get a special on his network?
And dating Fiona Apple. The only reason I was watching is I was just hoping lightning would hit that thing while he was kind of floating in it. So I guess
I'm just thinking if someone could slip a Bunsen burner under there just for a little while.
Seriously. Hold your breath now, pinhead.
Well, I just think they could cause some permanent damage to him.
Yeah.
I'd
like
He's
to think
gonna
so.
He's going to be all shrivelly and...
And keep him from doing any of that watch me reset the time on your watch crap.
He'll look like a sea monkey.
All right. Thank you, Dennis.
Hey, no problem.
All right, there you go. Our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, listen to this.
Dennis, he's scrolling through. What am I talking about?
What am I doing?
I have no idea what I'm doing.
I didn't think he was coming back this soon.
It's been the best show ever.
A photograph of a teacher's cleavage taken by a pupil could lead to a strike at a school. The actor reportedly took a picture with his mobile phone as the teacher bent over.
Yeah.
He may have passed on the image to classmates and was caught by another member of the staff as he added a rude caption. He was excluded from the popular St. Cuthbert's Catholic School.
Is this in Britain? Sounds like it's in Britain. Yeah, okay.
Teaching unions have balloted members who have been reportedly unhappy about the boys' return to classes, and industrial action has not been ruled out.
I don't even know what this story's about, but I will say this. Tim and I were talking about this before the show because there was some CNN thing, which I don't think we're talking about today, but there was some CNN thing about it. Was it New York where they're banning cameras in all public schools?
Like your cell phones.
Yeah, or say your cell phones. Like, you can't have a cell phone at all of your kids. Can you imagine voluntarily becoming a teacher at this point in American history? Mm-hmm. I mean, just kill me. Just ram giant spikes into my eyes. I cannot imagine. You are either a much better person than I will ever be, or you are deeply, deeply stupid if you opt to become a teacher at this point. I'm not trying to insult or impugn teachers who are out there. All I'm saying is I just don't understand. Your mom's a teacher, isn't she?
Yeah.
She teaches at a public school or private school?
Public.
See, you know, why?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not trying to... I'm sure your mom's a very smart, intelligent, fine, upstanding woman, but I mean...
She substitute taught for a really long time.
That's got to be the worst.
Yeah, but she loves teaching. She's a great Spanish teacher.
Does she love children?
No. I think she just really likes being able to talk in Spanish.
She tolerates the children. What age kids does she teach?
Oh, horrible age, in middle school.
Can you imagine?
No, I couldn't. I can't believe she actually does that.
It's like, when does she just wake up and beat on your own toes with a hammer for a few hours every day? I can't imagine a worse life. It's like you would wake up every day and just want to toss yourself in front of a car. I mean, I can't imagine why you would do that. I think people who are teachers have got some weird psychological thing where they feel like they've got to be punished. They feel like they need to suffer for some reason. All right, well, there you go. Well, let's take a break here. We'll come back. Around the corner, we got CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. He's going to talk about David Blaine. Later on, Peter Carlin will be here to give the Sopranos recap for the day. We'll finish this article about Charlie Sheen wishing face cancer on Denise Richards. More of your phone calls, emails, etc. Like us at 3 World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. This is the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. You stay right there.
And